بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، القدوس السلام، الرزاق الكريم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. Allah says that I have not created jinn or mankind except that they worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this ayat and in various ayats and various verses of the Quran that He has created mankind in order to worship Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning, or towards the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O mankind, worship your Lord, the one who created you and those before you, so that you may fear Him, or have the taqwa for Him. In this verse is the commandment from Allah to worship Him. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O mankind, worship your Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messengers, His prophets and His messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, to order their people with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the word worship is used in Islam, or the commandment of worship comes in the Quran and the Sunnah, the commandment of worship, it means tawheed, meaning worshiping Allah alone without any partners or associates. And all the prophets, they came and they commanded their people to worship Allah, meaning to single out Allah in ibadah, in worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. And the Masih, who's the Prophet Isa ibn Maryam, he said, O children of Israel, worship your Lord. Worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمَ اَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. And we sent to Ad, their brother Hud. And he said to them, O my people, worship Allah. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. And to Thamud, we sent them their brother Salih. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. And to Madian, we sent to them their brother Shu'aib. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded mankind to worship Him. And this is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, in order to worship Him. But all of the messengers, all of the prophets and the messengers were sent with this message, to command their people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا فَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. And we have sent to every nation a messenger, saying, worship Allah. وَجِتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And avoid الطَّاغُوتِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created us for the purpose of worshiping Him. So it's upon us to understand what is worship and how do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these acts of worship that we do to Allah, what is the ruling on them? From amongst the things of worship are things that are wajib, that are obligatory upon the Muslim. And they are things that are mustahab, things that are recommended. Wajib is mentioned as a benefit, and it's good that the listeners have a notebook, and this is the etiquette of studying and seeking him. But somebody has a pen and a notebook, and it's good to have a notebook, not like a scratchbook or a little notebook the size of something you put phone numbers in, but a notebook, a 200-page notebook, particularly a notebook that the pages don't rip out, like a spiral notebook. That is, there's no problem with having it, but you want something that'll last, like those notebooks when they may call the black and white hardcover notebooks, or something that the pages are permanent and they're not easily taken out. The word wajib, it means obligatory, but wajib means that it's obligatory for you to do it. Wajib means that if you leave it, then you deserve the punishment of Allah. That's what wajib means. It's a commandment from Allah. If you leave it off and you don't perform it, then you deserve the punishment of Allah. And this is the correct, the proper manner of saying that you deserve the punishment. Some ulama, they say that if you leave it off, then you are punished. But that's not the case. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his ever vast mercy and forgiveness, may forgive you. But the correct meaning is that if you leave it off, then you deserve the punishment of Allah. And mustahab, this is also a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a commandment. But if you leave it off, then you don't deserve the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to worship him with fall into these categories. Ibadah, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and his kunya is Abu al-Abbas, his name is Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim. Shaykh al-Islam, his kunya is Abu al-Abbas, his name is Ahmed. He gave a definition of ibadah, worship. He says that it's a ism jami', and it's an all-comprehensive name, لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ, for all that which Allah loves and is pleased with, مِنِ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ, from statements and actions. I mean, the issue of ibadah and the issue of the acts of worship is not confined to just salah, with zakah, charity, and fasting and hajj. But it's all that Allah loves and is pleased with from amongst statements and actions. It includes dhabh, slaughtering. And it includes ata'awun, cooperating with one another, because Allah has commanded us with these things. This is وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلِ الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. He has commanded us to cooperate with one another upon goodness. It also entails seeking ilm, talab al-ilm, wa da'wah, and spreading the call to Islam and teaching people the religion of Islam. An-nasiha, advising and being sincere. This is from acts of ibadah. Wa husnul khuluq, having good etiquette and good adab, good etiquette with Allah, and good etiquette with His creation, whether they be mankind or animals, and good etiquette with yourself. These are all acts of ibadah. Wa bana al-masajid, and building masjids. And if someone purifies his intentions. The things that would normally be a custom or something that somebody just does on a daily basis, when he purifies his intentions, that which is a custom can become an act of ibadah or be recognized as good deeds that he gets a reward from. As it comes in Sahih Muslim, an Abi Munzir Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and he said, radiyallahu anhu, كان رجلا لا أعلم رجلا أبعد من المسجد منه. There was a man, and I don't know any man that was further, who lived further from the masjid than him. فكان لا تخطئه صلاة. And he would never miss the salah. فقيل له أو قلت له, it was said to him, or I said to him, and that's how he says it in the hadith, فقيل له, it was said to him, أو قلت له, or I said to him, لو اشتريت حمارا تركبه في الظلماء والرمضاء. It was said to him, if only you bought a camel so that you can ride it while it's dark and dawn while it's hot. فقال ما يسرني أن منزلي إلى جنب المسجد. It doesn't please me that my house would be next to the masjid. أريد أن إني أريد أن يكتب لي ممشاي إلى المسجد. I want it to be written down for me, my walking and my steps that I take to get to the masjid. ورجوعي إذا رجعت إلى أهلي. And my returning, when I return back to my family. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, قد جمع الله لك ذلك كله. Allah has gathered all of that up for you. Meaning, this is what you intended from these actions. And normally, this action of walking back to your family, maybe somebody does this every day, coming back to his family, and he doesn't seek a reward from it. But this person, because of his intentions, as it comes in another narration of the same hadith, the Prophet said, "Inna laka mahtasabta." Certainly for you is that what you intended. And that which you sought reward from. So ibadah, we want to benefit from that. It's not just confined to the salah. And not just confined to you reading Quran or fasting. But even like this companion said, I don't want that my house would be next to the masjid. I want my reward from walking to the masjid. Also when I walk back home to my family. So these kind of things become... for him, because his niyyah is that, which would probably just be a normal custom, now it becomes ibadah for him. So the things that we do, maybe we might have to take our kids to the hospital, or we might have to run back to the store for our families, or we might have to call, or we might do things. If you do it with the intention that you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would change this matter of a custom or something that might be a burden on you, you change it to ibadah. All of these acts of worship, they are called a'mal salihah. They are called good deeds. All of these actions are called good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Allah swears by time that mankind, all of mankind is in loss. They're in a state of loss, losers, except those who believe and they do good deeds. So these good deeds, they're acts of worship. Good deeds, they're acts of worship. And is that which saves you from loss and being a loser. And that's what uplifts you from not being amongst the losers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that surah, He swears, and certainly all of mankind is in loss, except those who believe and they do good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Certainly we have created man in the best of forms. ثُمَّ رَدَدَنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then we rend him to be from amongst the lowest of the low. Then he will be from amongst the lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those that believe and they do good deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. For they have a reward that never ends. So the issue of doing good deeds and having acts of worship is an issue that is upliftment for the Muslim. And this is where his upliftment goes. And we want to understand that the only good that a Muslim is going to acquire is from his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upliftment is going to come from his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good deeds. His obedience to Allah and good deeds. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for. He created us for good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرُضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبَلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And certainly we made that which is on the earth as a beautification and adornment for it, for beauty, for the earth, in order to test them to see which of them is the best in deeds. So Allah created this world and he put in it beautiful things to test for mankind to see which of them is the best in deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And He is who created death and life in order to test you all, to see which of you are the best in deeds. So it is upon us not just to have ibadah, but to have the ibadah that it is good and is pleasing to Allah. And we do it in a manner that's perfect. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Shaddad ibn Aws. And Shaddad ibn Aws, he has one hadith in Sahih Muslim, which I'm going to mention now. And these are the kind of benefits that we benefit here. I'm sitting in with the Sheikh Yahya Hafizullah. Shaddad ibn Aws, he has one hadith in Sahih Muslim. And it's the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah wrote down and prescribed perfection for everything. فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. So if you slaughter, then slaughter well. Do it good. Slaughter, this is from the good deeds. وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ. If you kill, then kill well. Kill well. Do a good job. وَلْيُحِدْ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتُهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. So one of you should sharpen the blade of your knife so that you could put the animal to rest easily. You know, when you cut the jugular vein of the animal, if the blade is sharp, you could put him to rest easily. So if this is what is recommended and encouraged for slaughtering an animal, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the fact that Allah wrote down and prescribed perfection for everything, then also in your salah and also in your reading of the Quran, that you want to perfect it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In order to test you all, Allah created death. He is the one who created death and life to test you all to see which of you is best in deeds. So you want to have the best of deeds. Also from the vantage point of benefit, Shaddad ibn Aws, we mentioned he has one hadith in Sahih Muslim. Also, he has one hadith in Sahih Bukhari, which is the hadith of Sayyid al-Istighfar. From this, we want to understand that the most important of the good deeds and the most important acts of ibadah are the five pillars of Islam. as it comes from the hadith of Ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Buniya al-Islam ala khams. Islam was established and built upon five things. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah, the shahada, or the testimony that none has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is one pillar. Wa iqam as-salah, and establishing the salah. Wa ita' az-zakah, and paying the zakah. Wa hajj al-bayt wa sawm Ramadan, and making the pilgrimage, the hajj, and fasting the month of Ramadan. The hadith of muttafaqun alayh. These are the five pillars of Islam. Many of the books of the ulama, particularly the books of fiqh, that teach the ahkam of salah, wa zakah, and the ahkam of the rulings of sound, of fasting and hajj, that was mentioned in this book, Dami Afwan, that was mentioned in the hadith of here, like Bukhari and the Muslim. These are books that they explain ahkam al-fiqh, the rulings of fiqh, which deals with salah and zakah and marriage and divorce and buying and selling and hajj and fasting. Books like Bukhari and books like Muslim, Sahih Muslim, and Sunan Abi Dawood, and also Bulugh Maram and Umdat al-Ahkam. These books, they start with, or before they talk about the salah, they have a chapter of tahara, a chapter of purification. And they make this chapter first based on this hadith that we read, that Islam is established upon five things. The first is shahada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This issue of la ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, this is something that is taken care of or is dealt with in the books of Aqidah. So the first issue after that is as-salah. Na'am. The first issue after that is salah. And the purification, the ruling of the purification, that purification, you don't say that is wajib, or you don't say that is mustahab, but they say that purification, wudu, is a shart. لِصِحَةِ الصَّلَاةِ is a condition for that making your salah acceptable and correct. Wudu is not necessarily, you don't say that is wajib, because somebody, maybe they may call the adhan, and somebody has wudu. You might have the wudu. So wudu is a condition for your salah to be accepted. Wudu is a condition for your salah to be accepted. If he doesn't have the wudu, then it's wajib for him to make wudu. If he has the wudu, then it's permissible, it's mustahab. If he wants to, he could make a wudu on top of the wudu that he has. So we see that wudu is a shart, is a condition for the acceptance of the salah. It comes on Abi Huraira in the Sunan al-Tirmidhi, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة من عمله الصلاة. Certainly the first thing that the servant is going to be held accountable for on the day of resurrection from amongst his deeds is the salah, is his salah. فإن صلحت فقد أفلح وأنجح. If his salah is wholesome and is correct, then he's succeeded. وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرْ. And if his salah is corrupted, then he is destroyed and he is lost. فَإِنْ انْتَقَصَ مِنْ فَرِيضَتِهِ شَيْئًا. So if something is deficient from his salah that's wajib, his fariḍah, the salah that's fard, is obligatory salah, and they find something that's deficient in his salah, قَالَ الرَّبُّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Then the Lord, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أُنْظُرُوا هَلِّ عَبْدِي مِنَ التَّطَوَّعِ. See if my servant, he has from the supererogatory prayers, in order, فَيُكَمَّلْ مِنْهَا مَنْ تَقَسَ مِنَ الْفَرِيدَ. See if he has any supererogatory prayers to fulfill or to complete that which was deficient from his prayers that was wajib. ثُمِّ يَكُونْ سَائِرَ أَعْمَالِهِ عَلَى هَذَا. Then the rest of his deeds will be dealt with on this pattern. Now this is the position of the Salah. That is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds the servant accountable with Yawm al-Qiyamah. The first thing. And if this is the position of the Salah, it lets us know the position of al-wudu, the position of wudu. Because wudu is a condition for your Salah to be accepted. As it comes in Bukhari, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yaqbalu salata ahadikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda. Allah does not accept the salah of anyone who ahdatha, meaning that he broke his wudu, from the different ways of breaking wudu, imma, either urinating or defecating or breaking wind or falling asleep or eating camel's meat. From the place of breaking wudu, Allah does not accept the salah of any of you who has broken his wudu until he makes wudu. And it comes in the hadith of Abi Malik al-Ash'ari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-tuhur shatrul iman. That at-tuhur, meaning purification, this is half of iman. And iman, as the ulama say, it means salah. At-tuhur is half of your salah. Purification is half of your salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has explained to the believers in His book how they are to make wudu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Iza kumtum ila salati fagsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. In this short verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained how the servant is to perform the ablution and to make wudu. And this is a ni'mah upon the Muslim. And this is a great ni'mah for the Muslim. The disbelievers, they don't have such a thing. They urinate, and they don't even have a manner of wiping themselves in their deen. The Christians, they have no manner. Maybe somebody might leak in their pants, their whole underwears might be full of urine, and they go to church like that, and they call their Lord like that, and the manner is not even considered. The manner is not even considered. The situation of the woman when she has her menses, when she's not on her menses, there's no laws, there's no regulations, there's no restrictions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us a way of purification. إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves those who make tawbah to Him, and those who purify themselves. I mean, they make wudu and they make ghusl. Allah loves them. So this is a manner of establishing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, then you can rejoice with all good. And Allah will protect you and take care of you and bestow His mercy upon you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, all you who believe, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, if you intend to stand and pray, فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقَ, then wash your faces and your hands to the elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and wipe your heads and your feet, meaning wash your feet until to the ankles. The first issue that we want to take a look at concerning the wudu is the hadith that it comes on Uthman ibn Affan, as he explains, as the sunnah, it explains the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ja'an Uthman قال عن حمران أن عثمان دعا بوضوء. This word wudu, this is the action that one makes when he's this is the name of the ibadah is called wudu. Then you have wadu is the actual water. Wadu is the actual water. Any other words in Arabic that come in this manner, like suhoor wa thuhoor, and the food that we eat, or the meal that we eat in Ramadan before Fajr, right? Suhoor is the actual the name of the meal, but the food itself is sahur, and the meal is suhoor, and this is wudu. Wudu is the action, and wadu is the water that is used for wudu. So Uthman da'a bi wadu'in, he called for some water, or requested some water for wudu. Taghassala kaffayhi thalath marrat, and he washed his hands 3 times. Thumma tamadmada washtanshaqa wastanthara, then he put the water in his mouth and rinsed his mouth out, which is called Astanshaka, meaning he sniffed the water up in his nose. Wastanthara, and he blew the water out of his nose. Thumma ghasala wajhahu thalatha marrat, then he washed his face 3 times. Thumma ghasala yadahu al-yumna ila al-mirfaq thalatha marrat, thumma al-yusra mithlu dhalik, then he washed his right hand till the elbow 3 times, then the left one, just the same way, like that. ثُمَّ مَسَحَ بِرَأْسِ, then he wiped his head. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُمْنَى إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتِ ثُمَّ الْيُسْرَى مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, then he washed his right foot until the 2 ankles 3 times, and then he did the left one the same way. ثُمَّ قَالَ, then he said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم توضع نحو وضوئي هذا. He said, I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم make wudu in the manner that I made wudu. So we want to take a look at this hadith and try to benefit, or we can benefit from this hadith. The first thing that we want to take a look at is ghusl yadain, washing of the hands. And even before washing your hands, the ulama mentioned that saying bismillah before you make wudu, this is mustahab. There's a hadith that comes, la wudu'a liman lam yadhkur isma Allah alayh, there's no wudu for the one who doesn't mention the name of Allah. There is no wudu for the one who doesn't name the mention, who doesn't mention the name of Allah. I mean, he doesn't say bismillah. But this hadith is not authentic. This hadith is da'if. This hadith is weak. But the ulama, and the majority of the ulama, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of the actions that he used to do, or many of the actions that he used to do, he used to say bismillah. And the majority of the ulama, they say that bismillah is mustahab, is recommended. When somebody makes wudu, that they say bismillah. This is the opinion of Imam al-Bukhari, Shaykh al-Islam, Imam al-San'ani, Shaykh Muqbil, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhim. That's the first thing that somebody, that the Muslim does when he makes wudu. Man, is the issue of washing his hands. The issue of washing your hands, this is mustahab. Is not wajib. Washing your hands at the beginning of the wudu is not wajib. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded us to make wudu in the ayah that we read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, فَإِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ If you intended to make salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ Then wash your faces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts with the face. Imam An-Nawawi, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he says that the ghusl, washing of your hands, is mustahab. Washing your hands before wudu, this is mustahab. And that one washes his hands three times. He washes his hands three times, and he starts with the right in affairs, and there's affairs that he doesn't have to start with the right in, as it comes in this hadith that we read here. So when somebody makes wudu, it's upon him to start with the right member of his body that he has two of. He starts with the right, and then he washes the left one. As it comes on Aisha radiallahu anha, قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه التيمن في تنعله وترحله وطهوره وفي شأنه كله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would prefer to start with his right hand or on his right side when he put his shoes on and when he combed his hair and when he made purification in wudu and in all of his affairs. And it comes in Abi Huraira that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first hadith was in Muttafaqan alayh, Bukhari and Muslim. And it comes on the authority of Abi Huraira that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith is in the Sunan of Tirmidhi, wa adhan in him. إِذَا تَوَضَعْتُمْ فَبْدَأُوا بِمَيَامِنِكُمْ If you all make wudu, then start with your right side. It's a commandment to start with your right side. Imam al-Nawawi, he mentions in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he says, ثُمَّ عَلَمْ أَنَّ مِنْ أَعْضَاءِ الْوُدُوءِ He said, then also know, after that, then know that they are from the members of the body that you wash in wudu, مَا لَا يُسْتَحَبْ فِيهِ التَّيَامٍ There are members of the body that you don't, It is not mustahab for you to do the right side first. It is not mustahab. There are some things or some parts of the body that it is not recommended. It is not mustahab that you do the right side first and the left side. And they are al-udhunan, the two ears, al-kassan, the two hands at the beginning of the wudu, wal-khaddan, and your two cheeks. These areas here, you do not put the right side first and the right you don't do the right side first, then the left side. So this is what we started from the hadith, that Uthman radiallahu anhu, he washed his hands, and then after he washed his hands, he washed his mouth, then he sniffed up the nose, and he washed, and then he sniffed, then he blew the nose out, and he washed his face three times, and he said, then he washed his arms, you know, his forearms up to his elbow, the right one. Then he washed the left one. When we see when it says he washed his hands, it didn't say that he washed the right one, then he washed the left one, like when he does his whole arm up to his elbows, or like when he mentions about his feet. Tayyib. After that is done, then you have what is called madmada. And when madmada is taking water in your mouth and moving it around. And the ulama, the jamhur of the ulama say that this is mustahab. This is mustahab in the wudu. On the istinshaq is taking the water and to sniff it up your nose, taking the water and sniffing it and bringing it up into your nose. Wa al istinthar, this is blowing the water out of your nose. Well, istinshaq, the blowing, the sniffing up the water and blowing it out, with the majority of the ulama, this is wajib. Then, the manner that this is to be done, as it comes in the hadith of Abdullah bin Zayd, قَالَ ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَدَهُ وَالْمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْشَكَ مِنْ كَثٍ وَاحِدٍ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثًا The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he put his hand in the water and he rinsed his mouth out and he istanchaqa, he sniffed the water up his nose from one handful of water. He did that three times. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to put the water in his mouth and in his nose from the same hand one time. He didn't take his hand and take the water and put some in his mouth and blow that out and then spit that out, then take his hand again and get more water and then put it up his nose. No, the water that he put in his nose and the water that he put in his mouth and he sniffed up in his nose came from one handful. Came from one handful. And he did that three times. And he did that three times. There does come a hadith. It's the hadith of Talha ibn Musarraf an Abihi an Jaddi. Talha ibn Musarraf narrates on his father, and he narrates that the Prophet Fassala Qala and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Qala Ra'itu Rasulullah, I saw the Prophet Yafsilu Bayna Madmada wal Istinshaq. I saw the Prophet separate by putting the water in his mouth and then getting water again and put it in his nose. But the hadith is not authentic. So nothing. Ibn Qayyim says that no hadith is authentic in separating the water that you, the handful that you put the water in your mouth and you put it in your nose. But it's one handful of water, you take some of it and you put it in your mouth and the rest you sniff it up your nose. And you do that process, three times. Na'am. And it comes in the hadith of Laqit ibn Sabra that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, أسبغ الوضوء وخلل بين الأصابع وبالك في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, أسبغ الوضوء. أسبغ الوضوء means to make a good wudu. I mean, when you wipe over that member of the body that you have to wipe over, you wipe over it well and you wash it good. وَخَلِّلْ بَيْنَ الْأَصَابِ meaning take the fingers and put it between your fingers to wipe between your fingers, also between your toes. Wipe between it. Put your fingers between your toes and your other fingers when you make wudu. And what we're interested here now is the point here that the Prophet said, وَبَالِكْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ and exaggerate in istinshaq, meaning in sniffing the water up in your nose, exaggerate in that. Illa an takuna sa'ima, except if you're fasting. When you're fasting, don't sniff up hard, because it might be a reason that the water will go down to your throat in the passageway of your food. Yeah. So this is from the etiquette of making wudu, that when somebody makes istinshaq, that he does it strongly, or he exaggerates in it. After that, in the hadith of Uthman that we're looking at today, he says, ثُمَّ غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Then he washed his face three times, and washing the face is wajib. As it comes in the ayah that we read, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, if you stand for the salah, if you tend to stand for the salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, then wash your face. So washing the face is wajib. And the ulama, they explain what is considered the face or what is the outskirts of the face. So they say that is from manabit sha'rat, is from where the hair on the top of your head starts to come out, you know, on top of your forehead, you know, where your hair, where your hairline is. Then what comes down on the sides of your two cheeks and your chin and the base of the ears. This whole area is your face. From your hairline down to the both sides of your face into your chin and the base of your ears. You know, where your ear is at, the root of your ears. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in the hadith of Uthman, قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخلل لحيته في الوضوء. The Prophet used to take his fingers and run it through his beard in the wudu. And this is mustahab. It's called takhlil. when you wiping your face, while you're wiping your face, if somebody has a big beard, it's upon him to have the water reach his skin. So it is necessary that he runs his fingers through his beard. If somebody has a small beard, then he also runs his fingers through his beard. But even if he doesn't, if somebody has a small beard, the water would reach his skin. The water will reach his skin. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to run his fingers through his beard. This is from the etiquettes of wudu, takhleel al-lihya, running your fingers through your beard when you do your face. When you do your face three times. The issue of doing the body parts three times, this is mustahab. And what is wajib is that you wash each one time. And this is wajib. It's wajib, as it comes in the hadith that we're reading, in now hadith of Uthman, that the Prophet did everything three times, that's mustahab. It comes in Sahihain, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd, and it's very important to write these down. Hadith of Uthman that we're reading has that the Prophet washed the members of his body for wudu, everyone, three times. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd is an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawadda'a marratain, that the Prophet, he made wudu and he washed the members twice. And it comes on Ibn Abbas and Bukhari, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawadda'a marra, that the Prophet made wudu and he wiped everything one time. And this is what's wajib. The hadith is in Bukhari and Ibn Abbas, that the Prophet wiped every member one time. That's what's wajib. Two times, mustahab. And three times is mustahab. And four times, bid'ah. It's not permissible to go over four times. And from amongst the issues that they mention in wudu, that if somebody is wiping a part of his body, maybe his arms or his feet, and he forgot how many times he washed them, how many times he washed this particular member, then it's upon him to build upon that which he's definite upon. Maybe he's not sure that if he did it two times or three times, but he's sure that he did it once, and he's to build upon that. He's to build upon that. So this is the issue pertaining to the face, and that you wash your fingers, you wipe your fingers through your beard, and the issue of making wudu, do you have to do it three times or two times or one time? Then what is wajib is one time. And it's important for us to know in the salah or in the wudu and other acts of worship what's wajib and what is mustahab. So, for example, we mentioned that doing, starting with the right and then doing the left is mustahab. This is not wajib. This is mustahab. And Uthaymeen, he mentioned that this is mustahab. As he mentioned that in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all you who believe, idha kumtum ila salah, if you stand for the salah, faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum, wash your face and your hands. And in the ayat, it doesn't mention your right first or the left. But this is what Uthaymeen uses to bring the leel, that washing the right before the left, this is what's mustahab. It's important for us to know that which is wajib and that which is mustahab. So if something was left out, or if somebody made a mistake, or somebody forgot, if he forgot something that is wajib, then he has to repeat it. If he forgot his face, he has to go back to, maybe he did his arms and he forgot to do his face, he has to go back to his face, then go to his arms, then his head, and then his feet. But if it's something mustahab, maybe he wiped his left arm before he wiped his right arm, it's not the kind of issue where his wudu is not accepted. So if you see somebody, for example, maybe he wiped his left foot before his right foot, and then he got on the salah to pray, and you're going to say, no, brother, you got to go back and make wudu. Your salah is not straight because you wiped your left. No, that's mustahab. It's better for him to wipe his right foot first than his left foot, but it's important for us to know that which is wajib and that which is mustahab. So that in cases of difficulty, in cases of mistake, or if somebody forgets, if he got something that is mustahab, then it's not to the degree that his ibadah is not accepted. Also, if somebody's sick, or it's difficult for him to make wudu, he could just do what's wajib. Wipe everything one time. If the water's cold, for example, or he's sick, or he's extremely tired, for example, these are just examples, or he doesn't need an excuse. This is what's wajib. He could be perfectly fine, healthy, not busy, not in a rush, and wipe everything just one time. It's accepted. And three is better. And three is better. Then the Prophet, as it comes in the hadith, Brother Uthman, he wiped his arms to the elbows. Okay, we want to understand that the arms here is the forearms. This also is this word yed. It could mean just the palms, or it could mean the whole arm. It could mean the whole arm. This point here, when it says the arm, when it says, as Allah says, وَمْسَهُ Allah says, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and your arms to the elbows, this is your whole arm. It does not start at the wrist. It starts from the tip of your fingers to above the elbows. It doesn't start at the wrist. It's the whole thing. As we mentioned before, washing your hands is mustahab. Washing your hands before the wudu, that's mustahab. Okay? What's wajib, when you do your arms, that you start from the tip of your fingers, it's not the issue that you start from there. The issue is not that you start from there. The issue is that you wipe this area. Well, you might start in the middle, or you might start at the elbow, or you might start at the fingers. But the issue is that it's from the fingertips to above the elbows. And this issue, when it says to the elbows, it includes the elbows, and that which is, it includes the elbows. So when we have to roll up our sleeves and roll up your thawb in order to make wudu, you have to be very conscious that that your thawb is above your elbow in order to rub your elbow, and you want to make a good wudu. You want to make a good wudu. And if somebody doesn't wipe his elbow, then his wudu is not accepted. This is what the arm means, and the arm is wajib. You have to wipe above the elbow. Above the elbow. The whole elbow has to be wiped. That's the point. The whole elbow has to be wiped. When it comes in Sahih Muslim, Nabi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غسل يديه حتى أشرع إلى في العضد. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wiped his arms when he's make wudu, and he went all the way up until until the middle of his arm, and he under his right where his bicep would be, right under his shoulder. But it's above the elbow, right in his bicep area, and then he washed his feet until he went up to his calf, the middle of his calf. But he didn't just go over the ankle or just over the elbow or the ankle, but he went further to the middle of the calf until his calf and into his abd. Well, the abd is here, right where your bicep area is on your arm, above the elbow. The issue of wiping a member three times, if you want to wash your feet three times, or you want to wash your face three times, or you're going to wash your arm three times to the elbow, one wipe is considered when you wipe the entire member totally. So if you take water and you wipe your arm, but you left a couple of areas dry, then you go to wipe, you get some more water, and you wipe it again. Now you fulfilled everything. That's just one wipe. Three wipes means that you wipe the whole entire member, that arm or that foot, you wiped it totally. You wiped it totally. If you need more water to wipe it totally, then that's just considered one wipe. So the issue of tatmim al-adu, and you wiping the member completely, this is very important. Maybe somebody wants to wipe his feet three times, so he wipes it the first time, and he didn't get his ankle. Then he wipes it the second time to get the ankle, but he didn't get between his toes and under his feet. Then he wipes under the feet, and he gets it, and he's finished. He thinks he might wipe it three times, but all he actually did was wipe it one time. All he actually did was wipe it one time. As far as the head, then the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used with the head is wamsah, to wipe. So the head is wiped. It's not washed like the ankles and the face is washed, but the head is wiped. And it's wiped one time. And it comes in the hadith of Uthman that the Prophet wiped his head three times, but the hadith is not authentic. The hadith is not authentic. When it comes on Ali, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, that Ali, he was describing the Prophet's wudu, it says, وَمَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ وَاحِدًا, and he wiped his head one time. He wiped his head one time. So the head is to be wiped once. Whether you're making wudu and you're doing your body parts three times, or you're doing your body part two times, or you're doing just what's wajib one time, your head in all three situations is just to be wiped one time. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd, it explains how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wipe his head. It says, بَدَأَ بِمُقَدَّمِ رَأْسِ. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd, ibn Asim. And from amongst the Sahabas, Abdullah ibn Zayd, there's two. There's Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim, and he's the one that has the Prophet's wudu described, Sifatul Wudu. He has the hadith explaining the Prophet's wudu. Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim, that's the one that describes the Prophet's wudu. There's another Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abdurrabbi. This is the one that saw the adhan in his dream. So we have two Sahabi that's called Abdullah ibn Zayd. One is Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim. That's the Sahabi who describes the wudu. There's another Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abdurrabbi, ibn Abdurrabbi. That's the one who saw the adhan in his dream. And only two Sahabis saw the adhan in their dream before it was prescribed. Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abdurrabbi and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhumah. So Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim, he says about the Prophet, how he wiped his head, بَدَأَ بِمُقَدَّمِ رَأْسِ, that he started with the beginning of his head, you know, where his hairline is. حَتَّى ذَهَبَ بِهِمَا إِلَىٰ قَفَاهُ, then he went with his two hands to the back of his head, ثُمَّ رَدَّهُمَا إِلَىٰ الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي بَدَأَ مِنْ, then he wiped with his head back to the front, to the place where he began from. Back to the front, to the place where he began from. Also, it comes on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masaha bi ra'si, that he wiped his head. وَأَدْخَلَ إِصْبَعَيْهِ السَّبَّاحَتَيْنِ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ, and that he put his pointer fingers, his two pointer fingers, in his ears. وَمَسَحَ بِإِبْحَامَيْ ظَاهِرُ أُذُنَيْهِ, and that he wiped with his two thumbs the outside of his ears. The issue of the ears, this issue here, or this hadith here, that the Prophet wiped his head and he put his fingers in his ears and he wiped with his thumbs the outside of his ears. This issue has to do with, is the ears is the ears a part of the head? Is the ears a part of the head? And there's a hadith that comes that al-udunan min al-ra's. the two ears are from the head. And this hadith is not authentic. Hadith is not authentic. And as the ulama explained, that the best one, that in this hadith comes in a number of chains, a whole lot of chains and a whole lot of turuk, or chains that this hadith comes in. But even though there are many different chains to this hadith, it doesn't bring that or raise the hadith up from being da'if to that which is hasan or sahih. And the ulama, they explain that the best one that gathered up all these chains is Ad-Darqutni in his book As-Sunan, and Al-Bayhaqi in his book Al-Khalafiyat. But this hadith, it is from the statement of some of the sahabas that the two ears are from the head. It's from the statement of Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas. The issue of wiping the ears after you do the head, or after you have wiped your head, the issue of the ears, the hukum or the ruling of the ears is that it is mustahab. The ears, wiping the ears is mustahab. We don't want to understand that mustahab means leave it. It's not important. No, Allah legislated for us these things that we practice it and we get closer to Him. وهو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. And He has created death and life in order to test you to see which of you is best in deeds. So we want to have the best of deeds. When we have something in Sunnah, this is extra for us to do to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama, they mentioned that this wiping of the ears is mustahab. And because there are a number of hadiths that describe the Prophet's wudu, one that we're doing today, the hadith of Uthman. It mentioned that the Prophet wiped his head, and it doesn't mention his ears. Also the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd, also the hadith of Ibn Abbas, and the hadith of Ali. None of them mention the ears when they mention the head. And this is the statement of the ulama. Also, if somebody has an imama on, the issue of wiping over the imamah. The imamah, this word is used normally when the imamah is tied and wrapped around the head, then it's permissible to wipe over the imamah. And the manner of wiping over the imamah is that what it comes in the hadith, that the Prophet just wiped. It doesn't show that the Prophet did like when he does his head, that he wipes to the back of the head, then he takes from the back of the head, he comes back to the front of the head. It doesn't. That description doesn't come when pertaining if somebody's wearing an imam. The Prophet just wiped his head. Also, it is not mentioned when the Prophet wiped his head with the imam that he did his ears. It is not mentioned that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped over his head while he was wearing the imam that he washed his ears. But it is authentic, or is it proven, or is the leal that the Prophet wiped his ears, so it's permissible to do that when you have the imamah. So it's permissible when you have an imamah on to wipe over your imamah. There is ikhtilaf that if you have the imamah and it's just on your head, it's not wiped, it's not wrapped, it's not tied. You have the imamah on, and on the right side of your face, the right side of the imamah comes down. On the left side of your face, the left side, the imamah comes down. That's called, some of them call it khimar. There's ikhtilaf about that issue, and what is the heaviest is that it's not permissible to wipe over your head if the imam is not tied. As for women, if she has her khimar on, then it's permissible for her to wipe over her khimar. She does not have to take it off in order to wipe her head. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَرُجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and then to wipe your feet unto the ankles. And wiping your feet, you want to, as the Prophet said, خَلِّلْ بَيْنَ الْأَصْقَابِ, wipe between your fingers. The word in Arabic, usbur, means fingers, but it also means toes. Even in Arabic, you have the thumb, ibham, which you call the thumb, even your big toe in Arabic, you call it a thumb. You call it an ibham. And these are, in Arabic, they're all considered the same. Toes and fingers, they have the same name. So what's important is that the one who's making wudu, he makes sure the water gets between his fingers and his toes. It is not wajib for him to wipe between them. The water just has to get there. Also, it's very important to understand that wiping any member of the body is not wajib. As long if you put your arm under the water and the water wipes and it reaches the whole arm or reaches your whole face, this is enough. Wiping is mustahab. The wiping itself is mustahab, except for somebody who, maybe somebody doesn't have a hand, or somebody, the water won't reach him, except that he has to wipe on some areas, like maybe between his toes. Some people may have two toes that are not separate. They may have two toes that are attached together. Then this kind of situation, he has to wipe in between his toes. He has to wipe in between his toes. This is the issue concerning what the feet, and that as we read earlier, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wiped his arms until he went above his elbows, and then he wiped his feet until he went up to his shin, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Waylun lil aqab min an-nar." Woe to the heels from the fire. Woe to the heels from the fire. So this is a warning that you make sure you do your feet good. And those who don't wipe their heels, this is a reason for punishment. You have to, when you do your feet, you have to make sure you do a good job. Make sure you do a good job, you know, when you wipe your feet. There is no hadith authentic. There's nothing authentic that when you wash your hands, that you make a special dhikr or special supplication. That when you wash your face, you make another supplication. And then when you wash your mouth, you make another supplication. And then wash your head. No, nothing has come authentic in that area. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wash your face and your arms, your face, it includes washing your mouth and sniffing up the nose, sniffing water up your nose and blowing it out. That includes the face. So the sunnah here explained the Quran. It comes on Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما منكم من أحد, no one from amongst you, يتوضع فيسبغ الوضوء. He makes wudu and he makes a good wudu. He makes wudu and he fulfills the wudu. He makes a good wudu. ثم يقول, and then he says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness that none deserves to be worshipped other than Allah alone. He has no partners. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية. Except that the eight doors of Jannah are open for him. يدخل من أيها شاء. He can enter, he will enter from any door, all of these eight doors that he wishes. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. The hadith has an extra supplication that you say. So first, before we go into that, the person, when he makes wudu, after he finishes wudu, he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what he says when he finishes wudu. If he says this, the eight doors of Jannah are opened up for him. He enters any of them that he wishes. He enters any of them that he wishes. We want to benefit from this hadith that Jannah has eight doors. Jannah has eight doors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran about the hellfire, لَهَا سَبَعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. He says about the hellfire that it has seven doors. So Jannah has eight doors. Paradise has eight doors. And the hellfire has seven doors. It comes on the authority of Uthman and Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَوَضَّعَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوء. Whoever makes wudu and he makes a good wudu. And this is the second or third hadith that has this kind of phrase. He makes wudu and he makes a good wudu. Whoever makes wudu and he makes a good wudu, خرجت خطاياه من جسده حتى تخرج من تحت أظفاره. Whoever makes a wudu and he makes a good wudu, then his sins come out of his body to the point they come from out of his from under his fingernails. From under his fingernails. And the Prophet sallallahu Uthman ibn Affan, he said, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawadda'a mithl wudu'i hadha. I saw the Prophet make wudu just like I made wudu. Thumma qala, then he said, Man tawadda'a hakada. Man tawadda'a hakada. Whoever made wudu like this, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِي. All his previous sins have been forgiven from him. وَكَانَتْ صَلَاتُهُ وَمَشْيُهُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ نَافِلَةً. And his salah and him walking to the masjid is nafila, extra deeds for him. So this is the virtues of making wudu. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, from the hadith of Abi Huraira, عَلَىٰ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ مَا يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ. Should I inform you all that which Allah wipes away with it, the sins, and He raises the ranks of the believers by this thing? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. He said, the first thing he mentioned, إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَىٰ الْمَكَارِهِ. Making wudu when it's disliked. عَلَىٰ الْمَكَارِهِ. It might be difficult or might be disliked. Making wudu when it's disliked or when it's difficult, when the water is cold. And it's also from amongst those, it's from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah to make wudu before you go to bed. Na'am, this is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah that he would make wudu before he goes to bed. So in these kind of situations, it's difficult. So the Prophet says, should I inform you of that which Allah wipes away by it the sins and He raises the ranks? I said, of course, the Messenger of Allah said, إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءُ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ. Making a good wudu when it's disliked or when it's difficult. وَكَثْرَةُ الْخُطَاءِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ. And a lot of footsteps walking to the masjid. وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. And waiting from one salah next to the next salah. Meaning like you sit in the masjid, after you make maghrib, you stay in the masjid until you make isha. Many of the students here, they sit in the masjid from law to asr. They don't leave the masjid. They may take the time and they may memorize 10 hadiths a day. Every single day, they don't leave the masjid. But